Welcome, dog moms and dads, to our show where we discuss the everyday joys and challenges of pet parenting. I'm your host, Jen.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is the Dog Mom Podcast presented by Zippy Paws.
And we're twins once again today.
Once again. Oh my gosh.
Two times in a row.
What did we wear last? Oh, it was pink.
Yeah.
And which is, today which is unusual for you.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that pink is rare. Black, I feel like, is a little bit more. But black kimonos with like this whole white pattern vibe is very like.
Okay. I swear we did not coordinate. We weren't like, you know, in middle school and be like, hey, what are you wearing to the podcast? I want to wear the same thing.
We're just that in sync.
It's actually kind of scary.
I mean, I feel like I talk to you more than almost anybody because I talk to you all day for work and then it never fails. There are times where we're talking on Instagram and Slack and text.
That's true.
And sometimes there are different stories. Sometimes they're the same conversation that just migrates. But like sometimes we have three full conversations going. And then we have our podcast too, which is the longest.
I think a lot of people can relate, right? Because there's so many different apps and communication devices. Like sometimes like you're sending me a meme through Instagram and then I respond to it. But then we also carry our work conversation over to Instagram. And then if it's during work hours, then I'll go back to Slack to message you because it's hard to talk on, you know, type on the phone. And it's just a weave of different things. And I know I tell you things for sure. So then if I'm talking to other people, I'm like, okay, did they hear the story or did only Ashley hear this story?
Right. I feel like I do that all the time. And I mean, then we just downloaded Clubhouse. And what was it, Saturday night? I think it was Saturday night when we were testing. You were brushing your teeth. It was 12:30 at night. And I just remember Nico waking up because I was like, oh, he's passed out. He's done. And he woke up and he looked at me and he rolled over and went back to sleep. But the next morning, when we were waking up, he goes, were you talking to Jen last night?
It was like 1 a.m.
It was so late, but it was amazing.
Yeah, and then we were like, why don't we just save this conversation for the podcast? Because it was pretty relevant because we were talking about, you know, how we feel about, I can't even remember what we were talking about. What was it?
Was it relevant? I thought it was like, I don't remember what we were talking about.
At the time, I thought it was relevant. So I was like, oh, why don't we just save it for the podcast?
But I think it was like rooftop bars, exclusive rooftop bars. And then it migrated to, oh, it was talking about meditation and how meditation is garbage.
Well, I mean, to us, we were just talking about, you know, a lot of people are talking about meditation and they are like, you know, wake up every morning and have a glass of ice cold water with lemon and I journal for 30 minutes and then I meditate for 15 minutes and I feel amazing and I do this at 4 a.m. every single day and that's awesome if that you do that and that helps you, but I just feel very, I feel like an imposter because I can't do all that stuff. And then you hear about successful people always wake up at 5 in the morning and they do this every single day. And we were just talking about our like our signs. Like we just don't really do that. And that doesn't, it doesn't help me. It just gives me more anxiety that I'm not living up to a standard of like the successful CEO that wakes up at 5 a.m. and runs 8 miles a day. So it just makes me feel worse, I think.
I mean, I wake up early because the dogs are on a schedule where they wake up early and I typically start work early, but it's not because I'm successful. It's because I know no one's going to bother me for like 2 hours. If I start working really early, I get a lot done. And mm-hmm. then when the rest of my team wakes up essentially and is starting to work, then I can give them that one-on-one attention, which has actually worked, I think, mm-hmm. fairly well. I feel like they've yeah. grown at a faster pace because of it, but I'm also able to get stuff done. And I just adjusting hours.
And then 3 hours later, I wake up and then we start talking. So I do that too, but I do my work in the evenings, like after yeah. dinner. That's when I like do all the stuff with China and, you know, I finish all my personal work. So during the day, I keep myself pretty much available to yeah. things that come up. And it's like the same thing, except you do it when you should and I do it when I shouldn't be. So
not really, though, because I think that also might be a reason why our team has been so successful, because they've got access to either you or I at essentially any given time. And I know I've been pretty vocal on the podcast and with our team talking about how with marketing, if you're getting inspiration at weird hours, take those weird hours. Try not to work, you know, 12 hours a day. But if you want to work some in the morning, take a longer lunch, work later in the afternoon, that's fine. And I think they're mm-hmm. doing that. At least our managers and our higher level associates are doing that. But they can bounce stuff off of you or I at any given time, because where I might not necessarily be available at 7 o'clock at night, I'm also available at 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So yeah. we might just inadvertently be cultivating a fantastic workplace.
Look at us, you know, I mean, just killing it. I know, because I sometimes talk to the web guys at night, because they're always on at night. Yeah. So then if I have an idea, I'll just like give it to them straight away. And if inspiration strikes at 10 o'clock at night, they can just, you know, get that done. Right. And if they not, then they can wait till the morning. So
killing the game. Speaking of killing the game, we have an amazing guest today. Another amazing guest. We're like going down the list of awesome yeah, guest podcasters.
We've been following each other for a while, and she's been very supportive of Zippy Paws and Dog Mom Podcast. And we haven't talked to her. Well, I haven't talked to her. You have through the Pet mm-hmm. Summit that you participated in last year, I think, right?
Yeah, we did a pre-recorded panel for that, or a pre-recorded class on podcasting, and then I sat on an influencer in the pet sphere panel, what not to do as a dog influencer, mm-hmm. which is, I believe, still available. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh,
you've yes. seen a lot of the no-nos. I see some of it. So I see the worst of the worst, because people like to share it. So
we may or may not be talking about you behind the scenes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's only the really, really, really cringy ones. And I feel like the people that are cringy are probably not listening to this.
That's true. So let's get started.
All right. So today we have another really exciting guest. Let's welcome Megan Rose. So she's the author behind Rescuing Rumba and is the mom to 3 gorgeous pups now. And you basically lived out pretty much all of our fantasies, at least I know mine and Jen's. You went on vacation and came back with a dog. So we have a lot to discuss, but welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you all so much for having me. Super excited.
Okay, I need to know the whole story behind going on vacation and coming home with a dog, because I feel like that every time I go somewhere, especially in like, you know, go to Mexico, or mm-hmm. last time we went to Cuba and there was like the cutest pup we nicknamed Bongo, and we saw him like the whole week that we were there. So I really wanted to bring him home. So I just wanted to hear about your story.
Yeah. So me and my boyfriend, we've been to the Dominican a lot. We usually go like during March when it's 0 degrees in New York City. And every time we go, like I find a dog, I obsess over the dog. I like annoy him about the dog. It's like a whole situation.
And then you go home. Yeah.
And then I go home. And so that's usually how it's always been. But so for almost 4 years ago now, we go to the Dominican, we get there, get to our resort, and we like put our stuff in our room, and then we like go on a walk on the beach. And then I see this dog like in the distance, and I'm like, oh, there's a dog. So I like, she's like dead asleep in the sand. I like run over to her. She like pops up, like jumps on me, starts licking my face. And it was like love at first sight. And then our vacation 5 minutes in turned into, we're taking this dog home. And I don't know what it was, like what about her made me be like, yeah, she's, I'm not leaving her, but something was. And then
you
we
just
so,
know.
Yeah, I guess we just, I just knew that like she, well, there was also some, so do you know those guys in the Caribbean, like that sell like Mama Juana on the beach and like the beaded bracelets and the magnets, yeah. like those guys. Mm-hmm. So I was playing with Rumba in the sand, and one of the guys came up to me. He was like, oh, that's Rumba. And we're like, wait, you know this dog? Is she your dog? Does she have a home? He was like, no, she lives on the beach. The hotels like try to kill her all the time. Yeah, they're like, the hotel you're staying at actually poisoned her like a month ago.
No.
Yeah. And we were like, what the, like, are you joking me? So because in the Dominican, they see dogs like how we kind of see them here, how we see like rats in the city. So like the resorts and things like that, they don't really care. They're nuisances. They're on the beach. They don't want them around the guests. So they put pesticides and stuff in meat and feed them to the dogs and just try to kill them off. So Rumba had been poisoned like the week before we got there. And so the guys like knew her, and they like are like, we give her fresh water here and there. Like, she's a sweet dog. Like, they were nice. They're like, but she's nobody's dog, and she's probably going to die soon because they're going to kill her. And we were like, well, shit, here we go. So we spent the rest of our vacation trying to find vets, rescues, like anyone that would help us. Everyone we called, one, they didn't care because it's just like an everyday thing there. Two, they like, there were some rescues like, oh, we're full. Some were like, oh, we're too far away. And they're like, you can't really do anything. So then I started calling vets. I'm like, hey, can you post? It's like trying to like work the system. I'm like, can you post date some papers for me so I can fly home with her, like some vaccination papers? And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. I'm like, please, I'll pay you. So then, I mean, this was like 3 days. We've just like trying and trying and trying. And then on like the fourth night, we were going to give her food and water. I mean, we did nothing on this vacation, but sit on the beach with this dog and call people. So the fourth night we go, and Rumba, there was a puppy with her. And we were like, oh crap, now we have to get two back. And he was like, he's huge now. He was like a little German shepherd looking puppy. And we're like, well, he's going to be huge, and they're definitely going to kill him. Yeah. So then we had, then there was two. And we found this Yelp review from like 2007 or something, that talked about a rescue, and then it linked to a Facebook page, and then that linked to another Facebook page. And so I like messaged this woman from this rescue called Red Collars. And I was like, hey, I found these two dogs. This is their photos. Like, we leave tomorrow at 6:00. Like, is there any way you can help me? Like, I have to take them with me. Is there anything you can do? And then she calls me the next morning, and she was like, hey, I know that dog, Rumba. I spayed her last year because they do the spay and neuter clinics to all the stray dogs. She's like, I know that dog. She's like, I'll meet you on the beach. We're like, oh my God, okay. What? So we like pack up all our stuff. We like meet her on the beach. And funny enough, as soon as these guys saw, her name is Janella, they knew who she was because she takes care of the dogs out there, or she tries to. And so they knew who she was, and they were like, oh no, this is our dog. And then they tried to like claim Rumba and Poppy. And we were like, what? I was like, yesterday you were telling me that it was not your dog, and that you wanted, like, and they tried to kill it. Like, I was like getting heated. I was like, oh no. And then, cause he was like, you're going to have to pay us for her.
Oh, I'm so sure.
Yeah. So it was like this thing, like, you pay us for the dog so you don't get them. And then Janella, she was like, we're not paying you for the dogs. She was like, you can't pay them because then they're going to do this to everyone. But it was like, our flight was getting closer. Like, there was no way we were leaving without them. So we ended up paying them. And Janella was like, those aren't their dogs. And I'm like, I know, but like, there's a lot of them and not a lot of us. Yeah. So let's just give them a few bucks and leave. So then we like get in the car with this woman who we don't know, and we drive like 30 minutes into the island to go to a vet to get the dogs checked. And then we drove with her to her shelter. And so she had to keep them for 3 weeks because they had to be quarantined. They had to go to the shots, the paperworks. So she kept them for 3 weeks. We left. And then three weeks later, we went and picked up Poppy and Rumba. And then we also picked up, I'm on the board of an organization called Global Strays, and we like help rescues in developing countries. And so I picked up 4 more dogs for them.
oh my God, I love it.
You should have seen this car ride. It was like, and yeah. And then so Poppy got adopted like 2 days in by one of my friends. And we were like trying to find a adopter for Rumba. Because I, of course, I told my boyfriend, I'm like, no, we'll find her a home. We won't keep her. We can't have 3 dogs in the city. I get it. And I'm like playing that card. And like the whole time, I'm like, I'm keeping this dog. I like made like a six page application. Like I made up all this stuff, like this insane application for people to fill out. And every time someone filled it out, I'm like, they spelled this word wrong. Not going to happen.
Right.
And then I like stalked them on Instagram. I'm like, I don't like their aesthetic. No. I'm like, they live too far. I'm like finding the dumbest reasons. And so here she is.
That's hilarious.
Love it.
It's a great story.
I love it. I mean, I feel like it's so inspiring, but I love that you did end up doing it the right way, right? Like you did have to wait. I feel like you guys got, I would be so paranoid leaving the dog. Cause I feel like, you know, I have to watch her for 3 weeks and you're like, okay, yeah, but I just had to pay somebody for her and she wasn't even there. So, I mean, there had to have been so many emotions running through your head.
Yeah, we were freaking out. And it was Yanela, the woman who runs this rescue, Red Collars, is like an angel. We got to the shelter and there was like a dog that she found that had been dipped in acid by somebody. Oh. There was a dog where they broke its back, so it like had to walk on its front feet. Like a dog who they like chopped off most of his nose. I mean, like despicable things. And yeah. she was, when we were at the beach, we were like, why didn't you take her when you were Spain? And she was like, I can't take every dog. Like I can only take the worst cases because there's so many dogs. And so all I can do is spay and neuter and hope that, you know, that helps the problem. But she's like, I can only take the worst of the worst. So I think we felt really comfortable leaving her with them. And then, you know, she's such a wonderful person. I felt good about it. But of course, like the whole 3 weeks leading up to them coming, it's like a hot mess.
Yeah. How did your other two pups react to, I mean, I feel like if you're working with a global stray organization though, are your pups used to fosters coming in and out, or was that something they were just not prepared for?
No. They, Pharrell was not happy about it. We like bring in, and at the time our apartment, we lived in the Upper East Side and it wasn't huge and we already had 2 border collies. And so like I pull up with 2 more dogs and Pharrell like showed his teeth for a good 20 minutes and like didn't want anyone to come near us. So he took, Rosie was totally fine. She was like playing with the puppies and having fun, but Pharrell was not having it. He ignored Rumba, I would say, for 3 months straight, ignored her. Like she didn't exist. And now they're like best of friends. They sleep together. They're in love. But for about 3 months, he acted like she was not in the house.
How is she? How did she do with the other dogs?
Amazing. It was so bizarre. It was like she never had an accident in the house. She watched them. I mean, she sat in our living room for like an hour when we first got there and just like sat and like looked around and she like saw them go. We had a little backyard. So she saw them go in and out and like go to the bathroom and all these things. And she all of a sudden just went outside and went to the bathroom and then never had an accident. It was just like, she was like following their lead, which is super cute. She was a little food aggressive in the beginning, which is normal.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah. But that didn't last long. But yeah, she adjusted very quickly. She made herself right at home.
I love it. And then you, in turn, are turning her story into a children's book, right?
Yes.
So I have to know more about this. I'm in the process of turning my journal entries from when my first dog Stella went through chemo into a book. It's obviously not a children's book, probably a much more somber tone, hopefully uplifting at the end of it. But I'm so interested because you're kind of doing the same thing, right? You're turning an experience with one of your pups into a book, but it's a children's book, which is so exciting because I think you have another avenue to teach compassion to the younger generation, which is so, so important.
Yeah, totally. That's like one of the things we do at Global Strays. Like one of our big like programs is education in these communities. So we go in and we teach like the younger generations, like how to treat your pets, how to treat stray animals, how to treat farm animals, and like try to teach them, which then incite they teach their parents, and then maybe it just goes up and down from there. So it just kind of made sense to do it, and it's going to be bilingual, which we really wanted it to be bilingual, just because I mean it's like a Dominican story and we just like want the kids there because animal cruelty is so bad there. We just want everyone to be able to read it and reach it.
Yeah, I think that's like super important to like teach kids how to act, because I remember I was traveling, I can't remember in what country, but we were at like a small, very small zoo, and these kids were just throwing like snowballs at the animals in the, you know, and the animals were just like taking it. They weren't reacting anyway. So it felt like, you know, this is normal for them, right? And then, so I just said to the kid, he was like maybe like 8 or 9. And I was like, hey, how would you like it if someone threw snowballs at you all day? And then he was like, oh, and then he like put down his snowball. It was just like that simple. That's it. He's like, yeah, because it's I wouldn't like it. And then he just like put it down and then like did not throw any more snowballs. And it's just like a lot of kids like don't really get that, right? They do things to like spark a reaction or something, and they see other people doing it.
See their parents do it.
Yeah. And or if they do it and nobody says anything, they're like, oh, that's fine, you know, and then.
Totally.
So I think that's great. What you're doing is teaching them like this is how you should treat animals.
Yeah, we're super excited about it. And I was like, for the longest time, I didn't even want to do it. And like my mom was pushing me to do it. And then we got like a few people on social media asking if we would do it, like if we should do this, a book. And then a publisher reached out and it was just like perfect timing. And writing a kid's book is super hard. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this will be so easy. No, not easy. It's like fitting a whole story into 1,000 words. And then,
yeah,
like, and I had to like change myself to a little girl and my boyfriend's my dad. It's like this, because like, they don't understand boyfriend, girlfriend on a vacation.
Yeah.
So it's been a process, but super excited.
And when is that supposed to come out? Is that out? That's not out yet, right?
No, the fall.
Exciting. Oh, you're nice. So close.
Super excited about it.
I love it. So were you involved in the pet industry prior to bringing Roomba home?
Actually, like, funny story. I moved to New York for fashion. I'm like a fashion merchandising major. And I like worked at Nine West on product development, Kate Spade. And then I was on the buying team at Macy's. And right before we went to the DR, I quit my job at Macy's, like cold turkey, because I was doing Gal's Best Friend, and like that was kind of taking off, and I just like wanted to be involved in the dog world. So I just quit. Like I was like, I can't do this anymore. It was just because like in the fashion world, especially like on the buying side, it's like if you don't meet sales for one day, it's like the world is ending, people are dying, this whole saga. And I'm like, guys, it's going to be okay.
Right.
It's going to be okay. We're going to, and I just like couldn't deal. Like if it was like a serious issue, like if dogs were dying, then yeah, I get the freak out. But,
yeah.
So I left. And then when I got back with Roomba, I started working at Dog Spot, which used to be called Dog Parker, which is those, houses that are outside of like coffee shops and bodegas and grocery stores. So I worked there for about a year, and then I went to Rebel Dog, and now I am at Fi, which is the GPS smart collars.
Yeah, it's a totally different realm going from fashion. I had 10 years of experience doing merchandising and marketing for fashion. So I actually did work for Kate Spade for a little bit. I worked for Anthropologie, Free People. And yeah, moving from something that at the end of the day is so trivial into something where you're actually making an impact, it's ironically less stressful with a much better return. So like, I feel like you hit that on the head.
Yeah, it was, and I like struggled with it for a long time. Like, I moved to New York for this. Yeah. Like, this is like what I wanted my whole life. Like, and then I was like, I can't do it anymore. It's just first of all, the pay sucks. And like, it's not worth, you know, it's not all it's hyped up to be.
Headache. Yes.
Yeah. Every time someone's like, oh, like, what should I, like, I want to major in fashion merchandising. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. All your classes will lie to you. It's not as fun as it seems. I promise.
Yeah. It's just high strung people, shallow people. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have tons of friends that are still in the industry that love it and are great people, but I would say a good 90% of the people are just, they take themselves too seriously. It's not as fun as it should be. I feel like fashion is no longer an art. It used to be an art form, and now it's with, you know, the rise of fast fashion, it's just changed so drastically.
And it's not a priority for people anymore either. So it's
Yeah. So you did mention Gal's Best Friend taking off, and I would love to learn a little bit more about that. I feel like Megan is the Instagram queen. Jen and I were talking about this before.
We were just discussing this.
Before we hopped on to start recording, I feel like we have so many, we want to pick your brain on the Instagram side of the pet world as well, because I feel like you've got your profile, which I mean is fantastic. Then you've got Pharrell and Rosie's. You're also heading up Gal's Best Friend. And then we'll also delve into the Pet Summit as well, because I think our listeners are going to be interested in all of them. And you had mentioned when you were turning down applications for Roomba that you didn't want anyone with a bad aesthetic. And I feel like your aesthetic is on point across all of your channels, which is something I will probably never master on my personal channels in my lifetime. So, I mean, yeah, take us, kind of walk us through all of those.
Yeah, I mean, so we started Gal's Best Friend. I randomly had I must have been looking at like something Navy's Instagram or someone like that back in the day. And I fell asleep, and then I had a dream that me and two of my friends from Dallas, who have dogs, and like, we were all in a sorority together and cheered for the Rangers together, that we started this like dog blog, but not like the normal dog blog, like fashion meets lifestyle meets dogs. Because I mean, this was almost 5 years ago. And I mean, back then it was like WebMD style dog blogs. Like there wasn't like the dog mom thing going on. That wasn't a thing yet. And so I called them the next morning. I'm like, hey, so I had this weird dream, never had a blog before, don't know how this works. What do you guys think? And they're like, let's do it. I'll go buy the domain now. and so we did it. And then it took about like a year to kind of take off. And it's just been so much fun. It's like brought in so many opportunities. Like every year in Dallas, we do these huge meetups. It's called Bitchin' Brunch. And it's at this dog park bar called Mutt's. And we have like a few hundred people come every year. We have like adoptable dogs. We had an event here in Dallas a few years ago with WTF Frenchie and Tori Mystic. And we had like almost 500 people come. I mean, it's just like been so much fun to like get the dog community together, and like, especially like the women of the dog community together. And I think it's something that we've all kind of been our whole lives, but like, it was never a thing. And then so with like social media taking off, it's like created this like amazing community for everyone.
I love
That's
it.
That's awesome. I want to come after COVID's over. I'm like, I've never been to Texas.
I was just going to say, I feel like, there. I feel like we need to broadcast at one of your events.
I know. What we wanted to do, I mean, like as soon as COVID's over, we're planning on doing another Bitchin' Brunch in Dallas. And then like, we want to do something in New York here just because it's just, I mean, maybe we'll come to California.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It's so much fun. But yeah, so that's Gal's Best Friend. And then the dog's Instagram just kind of took off at some point. And then Rumba has been on the Dodo a few times. So once you're on the, like, one time on the Dodo, you get a good boost. So very thankful for the Dodo. and then the Pet Summit kind of started with, I don't know if y'all know what Blog Paws used to be. it was this conference. They had it for 10 years straight with.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah. So they had it in like different cities around the nation, and it was like a conference for pet bloggers. So we went like 3 times, and I mean, it was great for what it was, but it was more geared towards like the generation above us. And so it was just like kind of hard to relate at some points. And, you know, like the whole social media thing was taking off. They were more focusing on the blogging and like the SEO and all that stuff, which is like, you obviously need to know that stuff, but they stopped doing it last year. And so we were thinking like, why don't we do blog posts, but for pet influencers more than bloggers? So, I mean, you guys did a class at it, which was amazing. And we, so it's just like everything under the sun. So like we have classes for rescues, we have classes for bloggers, like photo shot photography, podcast influencers, working with influencers. We did you were on that panel as well, the panel we did for what not to do when working with a brand.
That sounds like list,
how the list goes on. That was one of the main reasons I wanted to do the Pet Summit too, because I do the influencers and social for FI, and I did it for Dog Parker Noble Dog too. And it's just like some of the things that you get sometimes, you're like, what? Like you're a grown adult. Like, what are you talking about?
You're not a dog.
Stop talking as your dog. Your dog does not have thumbs. And so it was just like, I know these people have good intentions, I just don't think they know what they're doing kind of situation.
Yeah.
So it's mainly just like a educational thing. And then like we have the rescue component where like a portion of everything goes to our 4 rescues. And then those rescues switch out every 6 months. So we can keep them new. And we're super excited for this year, hoping in 2022, we can do a live event in Austin.
Ooh.
We want it to be like, this curated, like everywhere you turn, there's a place to take a photo. There's like a whole situation.
It's like South by Southwest for dogs.
Exactly.
I'm like, that sounds like a collab opportunity. If I ever heard one.
We're super, super excited. But I think this year online again.
I know a dog toy company that would probably want in on that.
I just, so funny you mentioned that. I just ordered so many Zippy Paw toys on, I don't know where I ordered them from. Amazon maybe? I don't know. I mean, I ordered so many like 2 days ago, and I'm just like patiently waiting for them to get to me.
So are we. We love the content. Like every time you get toys or we send you toys, like the pictures we get are just like, yes, these are so perfect.
I mean, y'all's toys are one, like, the Instagram dog's major like perfect prop.
Mm-hmm. That's part of like how we design too, you know. We design for a lot of big box stores, and you know, we design also for, you know, our generation of pet parents, where we want things to look aesthetic and we want it to like fit our homes. And if you have like a holiday coming up, you want to have props, toys that also like our props, so they can, you know, they're just not necessarily just an accessory, like you can play with them. So I mean, that's how we go about designing these toys.
The burrow hose are our favorites.
Awesome.
Those are, we love this.
I love it. So I have an unrelated question, but you live in an apartment, obviously you live in the city. How do you handle 3 dogs in an apartment? Because when we got Bjorn, we were on the 3rd floor apartment of our complex and learned really quickly that that was just not going to be an effective lifestyle for us. Just it's chaos. How do you do it with 3?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think everyone walking down the street thinks I'm a dog walker. like I legit look like one. So I've now learned that they all have to have like matching leashes on, so they look like they belong together, or like matching bandanas, so people are like, oh, you're just crazy, not a dog walker. but I think, I mean, when I first got Pharrell, I lived in a 4-story walk up, in the Upper East Side. And I mean, he was a puppy, so I got peed on a lot trying to potty train him. And then after that, I moved to like the super tiny apartment in Chelsea. I mean, it was, I don't know, it was a 3-bedroom apartment and probably 600 square feet, maybe. It was rough. But then after that, we moved to apartment in the Upper East Side that had like a small backyard. So we were on the first floor. It had a very small backyard. And then that's when we got Rosie and then Rumba. And then we got super, super lucky and we moved to Brooklyn and we have a huge backyard here. Yeah, I don't know how we got so lucky. Craigslist, guys, the best. And so it makes it easy in the sense that they have a place to, I don't have to walk them all the time. You know, our backyard's pretty big. And so it helps. And then when we do go walking, I mean, I've like got it down to a science now, like Pharrell's on this side, the girls are on this side. I have like the twist down. I have the poop picking up in. It took a while, but I've mastered the art of having three dogs, but I love it. I mean, obviously it would be great to live somewhere with like a grass backyard. Our backyard's concrete and have all these things, but we make it work.
I feel like the leash maneuvering is probably the toughest thing for me. Just, I mean, we only have two, but going from one to two was a lot harder just as a single dog walker. Like usually my husband and I take them out together, so it's not that big of a deal. But when it's the two, it's like, okay, because Bjorn is great on a leash and then Tova's still learning because she's new to everything, but like they're crisscrossing and then they always want to bolt when I'm trying to pick up poop and it's just the biggest headache. So I feel like kudos to you for being able to do it with three, because that's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I see your photos sometimes and you have them like they're all like beautiful and they're like posing and I'm like, wow, how do you even do that? I'm like picking up poop and then I'm like, oh, I'm trying not to hit myself with like the poop bag, you know, just
Poop has definitely gotten places it shouldn't have gotten. Like I've definitely yes. like been that like scraping runny poop off the sidewalk by like 1,000 people are walking by me. Pharrell has like this habit of when we're like in the city and like Union Square area, like super busy areas, he has this habit of like when we're crossing the street in the middle of the crosswalk, dropping a deuce. In the middle, cars coming every single way, and I'm just like, sorry, like give us a second. But I've learned that Rumpa's like a super, obviously she's super beachy slow dog vibes, and she likes to walk behind me for some reason. So I've gotten one of those leashes that clips on my waist, and so she's on my waist and walks behind me, and then I have a border collie in each hand because they're like pulling me the whole way. So it's kind of like this like awkward situation. We take up the whole sidewalk. My neighbors probably hate me.
Tova does that too, and she's a rescue. I wonder if it's because they want to make sure that somebody's in sight at all times. So I think
that has a lot to do with it.
Because if one of us is behind her, she's constantly looking to the back. Like, okay, I need to make sure I know where both of you are at all times. So that's crazy that Rumba's that way as well.
Yeah, somebody, a dog trainer, told me once that it's called like the pecking order, and so like Rosie is always like slightly ahead of Pharrell. So I guess he was saying that like Rosie's in charge of Pharrell, Pharrell's in charge of me, and I'm in charge of Rumba. And so like somebody explained it that way. And I was like, well, that does make sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Cause I feel like my little one Birdie, I feel like she's a runt of the litter. I got her from a breeder. And I think she's a runt because she acts very
runty, you know, like she's always like fighting for her food, and then she's always like she doesn't have to fight anybody, you know. It's very even and fair in my household, and she always has to fight. And when we're walking, she never crosses in front of me. She always waits until I keep walking and she crosses behind me. So I think she thinks that, you know, she's last. Well, although like I feel like sometimes she feels like she's queen of the castle, so
it's funny because Rumba's like queen. Like at home, Rumba, like she, like if Pharrell has a toy, Rumba will casually get up, casually strut over, take it from him, out of his mouth, take it back to the couch and lay on top of it and go back to sleep.
I love it.
And he takes it.
If I'm not playing, you're not playing.
Yeah, she was like, and then he'll like walk over, get another toy. And it's like, she's annoyed because she has to get up. And so she like gets up again, walks over there. And I'm like, you don't have to take his toys. There's like enough for everyone.
Plenty, yeah.
You're also sleeping.
That's funny. Yeah, maybe they're like queens of their castle, but outside they are very,
yeah.
You know, meek.
Submissive,
yeah. Yeah.
Did you want to ask Jen? I know the other question that Jen and I were pondering, have you thought about changing Pharrell and Rosie's Instagram handle?
I think about it all the time. And I get, and Rumba has like the biggest fan base. If I like post a picture and Rumba's not in it, or if I do like a stories and everyone's like, where's Rumba? What's Rumba doing? Why aren't you posting Rumba? I'm like, guys, like they're, I mean, like insane. And then I get like messages in Spanish and I can tell they're like aggressive, but I can't read them. And I'm like, I'll post Rumba right now for you. I mean, she's like the star of the account. But like my debate is, and this is silly, but on all the Dodo videos, it says that Pharrell and Rosie.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, and they like repost them. So I'm like, if I change it, then.
It messes up your whole algorithm. Yeah, I see that.
It's going to mess everything up.
So you have to reach out to Dodo and tell them to fix their videos.
I'm like, can you edit the video and change my name to something else? I know. But then I'm also like, what am I going to call it? I was like thinking of names and I don't know.
Because it can't be too long. The Roomba.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's so good. Damn.
Wait,
it.
What did you say? Sorry.
Pharrell and Rosie do the Roomba.
That's
I
funny.
Mean, you can at least grab the handle. I would grab it before
I'm
we
going
post
to.
This because you don't want someone to snatch it.
I'm doing that. I'm going to make a note real fast. That's the best thing. Okay. At Pharrell and Rosie DiRumba. Okay. Because then if you type in Pharrell and Rosie, if you're looking for them, this will come up.
Yeah.
That is genius.
And then you can probably still like, once you swap it out, you can still hold on to the other handle and just direct people too.
This is true. This is all very true. You've gotten rid of some of my fears.
Did with Roomba, did you have any language barriers with her?
No.
See, that's crazy because when we rescued Tova, she was from Tijuana, and my mom is one of the only people in my life that actually listens to this podcast, I'm pretty certain. And every time I share this story, she always goes, well, make sure that you give me credit because she just loves this. But we had a tough time with Tova because she was so scared when we adopted her that she didn't understand. Like, we're just like, what are we doing wrong? And my beautiful mother comes over one day and rudely looks at me and goes, well, are you speaking to her in Spanish? I was like, no. And she goes, hola, and booking it down the hallway. She goes, well, yeah, you idiot. She doesn't speak English. And I feel like that.
Of course.
Because that's where my thought process was. But she, and I mean, to be fair, Tova learned English very quickly, especially dinner, food, walk, whatever. But I think that it helped ease her just because there was that familiarity. But I was just curious to see if it was just our dog that was weird or if it was multiple.
I mean, don't get me wrong. When we first got her, she had a lot of issues with a lot of things. But when people talked to her in Spanish, she was a different dog.
Yeah.
Like her tail, like a full butt wag. Like, okay. She liked when people talked to her in Spanish. And we had a lot of friends. We do have a lot of friends that speak Spanish. So every time someone was over, I'm like, can you just say something to her? It makes her happy. Yeah. But she, with me, she was fine talking English. I think she just wanted to be close, so she didn't really care. But we did have a problem with like darker skinned men.
Really?
It was like really bad. And I think it's because like Dominican men are very dark.
Yeah.
And she was like on the beach every time like a big man walked towards her, like one of the security guards, she would like dart away from us. And we'd have to spend like 30 minutes looking for her, like super scared of them. And so for a while there, I had to like take treats on walks with her. And when I saw like a Hispanic guy or a black guy, I'd be like, do you mind giving my dog a treat? I'm working on her race problems and we're getting there. Yes. But, and
that's
so
like, smart though.
Yeah. Some people were like, no, I'm not coming near your dog because she's like aggressively barking.
Yeah.
Super scared, tail tucked behind me. And I'm like, I swear she won't bite you. Just she'd do anything for food. And so a lot of guys would do it, but,
I love it. She loved my husband because he's Hispanic, but he is as white as they come. He does not look Hispanic at all, but he speaks Spanish.
Perfect. I mean, she's fine. She's fine now with all colored men. She's great. But for a while there, it was rough. I took her to Dallas with me, and we were in the airport, and the TSA guy was, I think he was Hispanic. I don't really remember, but he was like a darker skinned Hispanic. And I thought like, oh, you can just speak, can you speak Spanish to her? Cause she like covered and like tucked her tongue. Like, can you just like say something to her in Spanish? And he did. And like nothing worked. So we had to get like another TSA agent over. It was like this whole process. I asked the woman that came over, I was like, can somebody else come over? Like a woman, but not a white woman. Like, I don't want her to like associate only white with good. A Hispanic woman came over and she was fine. Perfectly fine. It was just the men.
It's nice that you are aware of it though. Right. And I think that because she wouldn't be that way if she didn't have really bad experiences. And I mean, clearly we're finding out that they were trying to poison her. So I can't imagine that her experience in the Dominican was that enjoyable to begin with.
Yeah, probably not. I can't. I mean, the guy, there was like one main security guard at our beach at the hotel. And yeah, I mean, he was huge. He must've been like 6'5", huge guy. And every time he walked up, she just sprinted, like tail tucked, sprinted. So like, I don't know if he like hit her or anything.
Poor baby. So I don't know if you want to answer this. I guess you can answer this question because we don't know the hotel that you were at. Are you ever going back to a hotel that you know tries to poison dogs?
So we're actually working on a program with Global Strays where we want to make, because it's just all about education. Like, I think I don't think these people are horrible people. I just think that they've been taught that dogs are nuisances and that dogs cause problems and to get rid of them. So like, we're working on this program to get with like resorts and like the Dominican, Colombia, Nicaragua, all of these countries that we're in, where in every hotel room, we put like a postcard and it's like, if you find a stray dog, do this, 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 do not do this, this, this. You can contact and then put a local rescue. So like, we're working on that because the big thing is just trying to educate these people that these dogs are humans too.
Right. And I think for the hotel staff too, like they have no one to call and their guests probably complain that there's a lot of stray dogs. We don't want them here. We don't know what kind of diseases they have. And then, so what does the staff do? Like they try to get rid of them, right? But if they had a place to call, then they can go through the proper channels of getting these dogs relocated, which is better for them and their, you know, business too.
And like PR, like honestly, because mm-hmm. I'm like on a podcast talking about how crappy this hotel is. And yeah. I think that, I mean, when we found Rumba, the first thing we did is we went to the concierge. And we're like, hey, I didn't know that they were doing these things. So I was like, hey, we found this dog. And they're like, oh, it will go away. Just leave it. Just ignore it. Don't feed it. Don't give it water. Just ignore it. It will go away. And we were like, not going to happen.
You understand where we're coming from.
So I think one of our main things for probably next year, like when travel picks back up, is to get these cards in all of these hotels to just educate people.
I love
it. And also like that would have been so much easier for us if there would have been a card.
Yeah.
With like the right channel. So we weren't like wasting 5-day vacation doing nothing. So
hoping it works out. Let's have a relaxing vacation. You're like, no, my whole vacation is gonna be about this dog.
I'm walking around with like a mimosa, like on my phone, crying, taking pictures, like all kinds of things. Like, what are you doing?
But so worth it in the end.
Yeah, totally worth it.
Well, let us know if there's anything that we can do. I mean, either from Dog Mom Podcast or Zippy Paws to help with this. I mean, if it's helping design a postcard, if you guys need some type of, you know, prize pack incentivizer to make people do the right thing, because that often happens, I find. Let us know. We're always down to help in any way that we can.
I love that. I'll let you know when we get closer and figure out what we're doing.
Or if you need someone to go down to hotels and yell at people, I can do that too.
I mean, yes.
Ashley's the best at that. So.
Well, so when all of this picks up again, like we go down and we do spay and neuter clinics for strays. So, I mean, if you guys ever want to come, it's a great experience.
I would love that. Yeah. I joke about yelling at people, but I think your point in regard to in regard to educating is so much more important. But if push comes to shove and you need to be mean, like I'm, you know, 75% Russian. It's in my blood. Like I'm very capable of being mean without raising my voice. So no one knows that they're getting in trouble.
Perfect kind of mean.
I mean, that's probably debatable, but
because it's like you, probably the most effective kind of mean. Maybe I put it that way.
Right, that low.
Because you're like, yeah. You're like, what's not happening like right now?
Temper, you know? Nico might disagree, but that's fine. He's always like, whenever we go someplace, if I get, you know, if I get irritated or I start losing my temper, he can always see it in my eyes, and he's just like, don't. He's like, because I know, he's like, you're going to be, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to raise your voice. He's like, and then there's going to be like a fist coming out your face. And I can't have that in my life right now. So just behave. But yeah, I'm your girl. If you ever need like, you know, the hammer being brought down.
All right. Once travel picks back up, I'll put you up. You're coming.
I love it. Well, well, you can check Megan out on her plethora of Instagram channels. So NYC Dog Mom, Pharrell and Rosie, and then also Gal's Best Friend. So gals.best.friend. Jen caught that earlier. Check her out. Live over her aesthetic. Hopefully checking out Pharrell and Rosie do the rumba in the near future. I will be the first follower for
and
that
the one. Pet summit.
And the pet summit, yes.
So it's so exhausting to hear you say all those names. I'm like, oh God.
I feel like it would be exhausting if they weren't all successful, right? Like I think my dog's Instagram has 275 followers because I run Zippy Paws Instagram and I barely have the mental capacity to run my own, and Bjorn just gets thrown to the side. And then like I never added Tova. I think I've acknowledged her maybe once on there. Like I just they've taken over my personal Instagram, and I feel like you do a really good job of having original content on all of your channels. With mm-hmm. me, I get yeah. one good picture and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna share it on my everything. Channel. Yes, and then exactly. I was like, well shoot, I should have waited to put it on the dog's Instagram channel, but nobody goes onto that page.
But although then you're like, everybody already saw it on your personal. Then if I post it on my dog's, people are gonna see it again.
And that drives me crazy. Like, unless you're doing some type of paid promotion where it's like I'm sharing something from Zippy Paws and then Bjorn is sharing something from Zippy Paws. If you post something on your personal profile, you don't need to post it on your dog's profile, because chances are if I'm following your dog, I'm following you.
Yep, 100%.
These are such first world problems that are like huge problems. They are just such huge problems. And then I have way too many accounts and I don't even like social media.
So I'm just struggling to keep up with like one of them, you know?
I feel the same. Oh my
God. It's a necessary evil. HBO just did a documentary on this. Fake Famous, the rise of the influencer and how
I need to watch that.
It's so good. But how we're just, you know, we're fed this and we have this inane urge as a society right now to kind of broadcast everything. And I think that that's where channels get oversaturated and they become very inauthentic. But I think that's where you've done such a good job of not becoming that, right? Like it.
Yeah, I agree.
I follow all of your channels. I get very excited at all of them. And I feel like I gain something from them too. It's not just, you know, buy this or, you know, oh, look at my filtered photo or, you know, any of the numerous things that I see. Don't get me wrong.
Love a good Lightroom filter.
I haven't gotten into like Lightroom filters too much. I should.
I have a bunch. I can send you some.
Oh, well, there you go. Although I feel like you're so light and airy. Everything you do is so bright and crisp and clean. And then I'm in my goth cage over here.
There's filters for that.
Yeah, just use a goth filter, you know, so I can find that one.
But then it's too dark. I have to find my balance.
You have to find your you know, middle ground, I guess. I don't know. I haven't found that yet, so. I'll keep you posted.
Well, Zippy Paws Instagram is stunning.
We get really lucky. We have a lot of really great user generated content that is submitted. We're very, very, very picky with what does get posted. Our creative manager has done a really good job of getting us, illustrations that really kind of fall in line. And then our marketing coordinator, Savannah, has essentially all but taken the channels over, and she's done a fantastic job. And I do not say that lightly, because I'm very, like, I was running them for the longest time. And Jen and I both are just very, very picky on what goes out.
Same. That's that way with Phi. We have so many photos coming in every day from customers, and I'm so picky about what I post.
You have to be, though.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel bad because somebody will send me the same photo like 7 times. I'm like, it's great, but I'm not posting it.
Yeah.
Put
it on
stories. I think we talked about that on the Pet Summit too, where people are submitting content. It's like, you know, your dog is really cute, but it looks like you took this with a Nokia flip phone and there's dirty laundry in the back, and there's not much I can do with that because that's the face of our brand. I mean, we're less picky on IG stories, though. I feel like we've become a lot less picky, and it's fun because people do want to see that organic side. Everything is just a balance.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah,
I feel like 100%. It's Pet Summit round 2. I need to contain myself before I get too excited with things I don't like on Instagram.
Oh my gosh, I get so heated. Mm-hmm. I have an ongoing list for the next summit of things that need to be talked about.
Oh, well, yes. Let us know.
There are people who chastise or berate us over DMs because we didn't post their photo or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why that's like.
That's a good way to never get featured.
Yeah. Great way. It's a great way to get blocked. Which isn't good for you.
It's not, I don't know what goes through people's minds, but yeah, like to Jen's point, like they berate, they get very upset and go, what do you expect to accomplish doing this? Do you think I'm going to say, oh, you know what? I've seen the error of my ways and not wanting to post your crappy photo. I'm definitely going to post something now. Yeah. I just don't get it.
Yeah. And I would appreciate someone reaching out and be like, you know, what can I do? Or how can I change my photos? Or, mm-hmm. you know, you just can look at our feed and see what type of photos we do post.
Yeah.
And then, you know, try to use a little bit of that. And in your own photography, obviously don't necessarily copy it, because we want people to showcase their own personality. But then just get an idea of what we like to post and then, you know, go in that direction.
Yeah.
Instead of like asking us, hey, post this. And they send like 30 photos.
Yeah, like, you post it and I'll like it. How about that? Well,
and also understand too, that just simply being featured on a page is not going to do anything. I think that Savannah has tagged Bjorn in so many pictures, and if you don't do the work, cough me, being posted on Zippy Paws is not going to build your brand. It's not going to, well, Bjorn's not a brand. It's not going to build your specific page if you're not doing the work. So I can post your crappy photo and then you're just going to have 160,000 people saying that you took a crappy photo. It's not really going to amount to much.
And I can promise you, they're not going to click on your profile to see what other crappy photos you took.
Yes. Yes.
Oh gosh.
Well, thank you.
Stop over our head.
Right. Well, thank you so much again, though. We really appreciate it. And looking forward to our next partnership, whatever that may be. I feel like there's a lot.
And your book. I'm excited for that.
I'll make sure you guys get a copy.
Hopefully a signed one.
Okay, ooh, I'll have Rumba sign it.
But all the dogs. Yes, yeah. Paw prints.
That's a good idea. I should get like a stamp paw print of Rumba.
Yes.
A good idea.
Thank you.
I'm getting so many good ideas today from you guys.
Wow. All right. Well, if you want to boop that follow button, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Dog Mom Podcast, and our website, www.zippypaws.com/Dog Mom Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye.